Blog Talk Radio. Good afternoon and welcome to the Consciousness Shift here on Saturday afternoon. My name is Nicole Tomasini and I am joined as always by my co-host Gwen Barry, who's a little coffee today, but you know, hanging in there like a champ. And we're also joined by Vila Spiderhawk, who's been with us before and she's got a new cookbook out, so hello, ladies.
Hi.
Hi there.
Awesome. Where are you again, Vila, in the world?
I'm in Pennsylvania. South Central Pennsylvania.
Ah, very nice. So
up
you're
in
still
the
having
in the woods.
Oh, very
yeah.
Nice.
It's
the opposite. The opposite of me here in New York City, and
yeah,
Gwen
in the
heart
of the town.
Yeah, and Gwen is the halfway point, the beach.
Yeah.
Nice. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the new cookbook?
Well, it's okay. It's a vegetarian cookbook. I don't call it vegan because I do have some honey in there and some pasta in there. And honey, of course, is an animal product. And pasta uses eggs. So it's actually a vegetarian cookbook because I can't give up my pasta. I'm sorry. I just...
The Italians agree with you.
Yeah. I just have to have my pasta. And honey is such a wonderful sweetener because it's so excellent for you.
It's got so many
health benefits.
Yeah, one of my favorites, too. I'll always choose honey.
I'm actually hitting on honey while I'm sitting here. I keep taking sips of honey.
Nice.
I was going to say it's really good for your throat and any kind of irritation in your upper respiratory tract, which is probably what's bothering you.
Yeah, and a natural antibiotic.
Yeah. Yeah.
So go on.
Yes. Well, especially the Manuka honey, I would highly recommend that.
Yeah.
It's costly, but it's really excellent for you. It's better than any other kind of honey you can get. Of course,
yeah,
you want it
super
raw.
Super tasty, right?
You don't want it processed, obviously. Raw honey is the only way to go, and a lot of stores don't carry it. But I'm lucky; my supermarket does.
Wow. Nice. I have to go all over to Whole Foods to get it, but yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people do, and that's really unfortunate. But my supermarket is absolutely unbelievable. And if I ask for a product that they don't carry, bam, next week it's there.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, they're right on top of things.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you communicate with your supermarket people, because I've been thinking about it, and I'm like, I don't know, do I want to take on this crusade of, I walked around, it's a graffiti, so, you know, it's super Babylon corporated out, and you can tell by the products that they choose to put on the shelf that it's totally not for your health benefit, but some things they do have, so you just walked up to them and said, hey, I'd like to have this. My name, well, you're so sweet. They're probably like, we'll do anything for you.
Well, yeah. I noticed several months ago that the only kind of barley they carried was pearled. Well, pearled barley nutritionally is pretty much a waste of space.
Mm.
I wanted the whole barley, H-U-L-L-E-D. And so I asked them, you know, could you think about carrying some whole barley? And I explained to them why. And the following week I went there, son of a gun, there it was.
Wow. Great results.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're excellent. They carry all kinds of organic produce. Almost all their produce is organic.
So it doesn't sound like it's a chain. Is it like a mom and pop?
It is a chain.
It is.
Yeah,
amazing.
It is a chain. And that's what's so bizarre. Now, I think it's local. I'm not sure that it's nationwide. It's Wegmans.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I always hear good things about them. All right. Well, that's good. At least somebody's keeping the integrity.
I remember.
They have a wonderful attitude about food. Honestly.
I have a question. I really want to know about some of these things. What is roasted unsausage?
Good question.
Oh, okay. You can get, I've forgotten which brand it is that I use. You can get it, now I get it at the supermarket, and Tofurky brand is the kind I use. And there's a it's in a cooler, you know, you'll find it, it's not frozen, but it's in a cooler like meat would be. And it's usually in my store, it's with the other vegetarian goods.
Uh-huh.
But it's put out by a brand name called Tofurky, T-O-F-U-R-K-Y.
Okay. And how do you prepare it?
Any way you want to.
Well, I see
it's,
where
it's
somebody...
Pre-cooked.
It's
a pre-cooked product, so you can just go with it any way you want to. In the roasted on sausage and veggies, which I think is the one you're looking for.
Yeah.
I just bake it in the oven with the other ingredients.
What vegetables do you use and seasonings?
In that particular dish, butternut squash, bell pepper, sweet potato, red potato, onion. Of course, I can't cook without onion.
Uh-huh.
Carrots, Italian seasoning, balsamic vinegar, and black pepper.
Well, that sounds really good.
Basically, you toss it all together and pop it in the oven. It couldn't be easier.
Oh, and you get the same thing for, now I see a mention of something called unchicken cobbler. How would you make something like that?
Oh, well, yeah, that's really easy, too. Now, you get the chicken strips, or you can use, well, okay, I don't think that's in this book.
Oh.
Let me see. Let me type that in again, because I am a notoriously poor typist. Mm-hmm. Chicken cobbler. So I did type it right. Do you know what book that one's in, Gwen?
I think it's in a new one, isn't it?
Let me run up let me go.
That's great, Vila. You give hope to people who, you know, either are dyslexic or have trouble typing. Because Vila's written how many books now? See, how many books have you written?
Oh, I think it's 14.
I mean, awesome. Just way to do your thing.
Yeah, you're right, Gwen. It is in that one. Why can't I find it? Why can't I pull it up? Hold on.
I like how you also give, I'm looking at just on Amazon, you can sort of peruse the first few pages, and I like how you talk about the different properties of food, like garlic is the best anti-clotting herb. It contains more anticoagulant compounds than any other herb, 9 to be exact. It's a major herb for heart attack prevention because it is blood-thinning effect. And its ability to help control high blood pressure. The same effects also help prevent ischemic, is that what it is, stroke?
Yeah.
Wow.
Ischemic, yeah.
Yeah.
And it'll also repel insects.
Nice.
I am serious. Insects do not bother me because I live on garlic.
Oh, that's great. You're not tasty. Fantastic. Oh, wow.
No, yes. I smell funny.
So you do that a lot, right? You put these different things about, like, the food properties of what they are. That's great.
Oh, yeah, I do that. I do that with every recipe. What I do in all my books, you know, all my cookbooks, is I give you the what and the how, you know, the ingredients and the instructions on how to make the dish, and then I give you the why. And to me, the why is actually more important.
Right. Why should I make this dish? Wow.
Exactly.
Nice.
What are the benefits of this dish? Now, I have pulled up on chicken cobbler, and you wanted to know what about it? What did you want to know about that?
Gwen?
The unchicken cobbler?
I was wondering how you create an unchicken cobbler.
Good question.
Okay. Well, okay. First of all, you go to Morningstar Farm for this one. Because you want the chicken strips, and they're easy to find too. They're usually in the same place with the tofurkey stuff. Let's see. You stir fry garlic and onion, garlic in the chicken strips until the onion's tender. Then you stir in your broccoli, tomatoes, and a lot of other ingredients. And you stir fry until the broccoli is bright green. No longer than that. You're just blanching it, basically. And you stir in your sauce and the soy cheddar and parsley. And you put it all in a casserole and top with the crouton mixture. And then you bake that for 40 minutes at 350. Again,
wow.
it couldn't be easier.
Wow. It sounds very tasty.
It's ridiculously tasty. The thing is with these dishes, see, I don't actually like to cook. This is a big confession I'm making here.
Awesome.
But I do like, but I'm a food snob. I expect my food to be very, very dense nutritionally, and you're not going to get that unless you cook.
Mm-hmm.
So I make my life as easy as I can by making these recipes that are just simple, simple, simple to make. They don't rely on processed foods. They're fresh. They're wholesome. They're not overcooked. That's another thing you don't want to do with your vegetables. You never want to overcook your vegetables because you're killing all the nutrients.
Yeah.
Although there are some vegetables that you're better off eating cooked, like tomatoes. But I just don't see any reason why you can't have fantastic taste, fantastic health benefits, and not be three and a half days in the kitchen preparing it. After all, restaurants don't spend 3.5 days preparing a dish. It's sip, sip, sip. That's how it has to be in a restaurant. Mm-hmm. Why should it be different at home? People don't have time.
Right. Right. Tell me, why is it better to have the tomatoes cooked?
Oh, because tomato contains lycopene, which is something you really want, really seriously want. It'll protect your eyes. It'll protect your. It'll protect you from cancer. It's just, and it's good for the heart. It's just an excellent phytochemical. Phyto meaning plant. It's a plant chemical, and it's very, very, very available in tomatoes, except for one teeny tiny little problem. Tomatoes have so much fiber that in order to break down the fiber so that the lycopene is available to the body, you want your tomatoes cooked.
Mm.
That's why tomato sauce, even canned tomatoes, I use canned tomatoes freely because they're processed and you need that cooking to bring out the lycopene.
Oh.
Raw tomatoes are good for you. Don't get me wrong. You're going to get lots of vitamin C and other good things, and other carotenes and so forth. But for the lycopene, you really want your tomatoes cooked.
Wow, so it's good
carrot
to have them
the
both
same
ways.
Thing.
Ah.
It really is best to have them both ways. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Carrots are the same thing. The beta carotene in carrots is not really available to the body unless carrots are lightly cooked. Now, I don't mean you kill them. You know, you don't cook them till they're gray. But a little bit of cooking is important for carrots. Although, again, eating them raw is a wonderful thing to do. Hey, if people want to eat their carrots raw, I say go for it, lady. Eat your veggies.
What were you going to say, Gwen?
Well, I purchased the book online, and there are so many recipes in this book that are just really incredible. I mean, you've got a roasted red bell pepper sauce. I love sauces.
Isn't that a lovely sauce?
And beta feta and your own cocktail sauce. And you have desserts here that are just in salads. Oh, my. You have a cabbage and berry creation.
Oh, that one's delicious. We're having that tonight, as a matter of fact.
Talk about that one. How do you create that one?
Well, first of all, obviously you grate your cabbage. It's pretty easy, too. Now, how do I call that? Let me go back up and get back up to the top, because I've been doing a lot of cooking today, and they're kind of all blending together.
Well, you've got raspberries, blueberries, strawberries, and chopped pecans, and lemon and orange zest, and lemon, and poppy seeds, and you use maple syrup with fresh mint leaves.
It's ridiculous. It's so decadent. And yet, it's extremely good for you.
Wow.
It's absolutely extremely good for you.
I think that's
and
so
again,
important.
It's just a matter of throwing things in a bowl.
Right. And having that ingredients. But I think it's important for us, like as a species, to retrain our taste buds to enjoy the sweetness of fruit, like in that salad, like I can sort of taste it by what, you know, you've got the lemon and the orange zest and you've got all these berries along with, what's the green spinach? Oh, cabbage.
A green cabbage and mint. You got to go, if you go down, just jump one down, and she's got this incredible cucumber salsa going on there.
Yeah, that is delightful, too. And it's just toss everything in a bowl and process, you know, your sauce and process it in a blender, and you're good. Now, I like to have it on top of arugula because I like to make sure that I have my green leafies.
Mm-hmm.
And arugula is so good. That's really high in calcium, by the way.
Yeah, she's got a kale tahini salad.
That sounded awesome. I saw that on the list. I'm a big kale fan.
Oh, yeah, I am too. And you'd be surprised at how many people who have never tasted kale turn their noses up at it.
Right. The stepchild
because,
of the leafy green.
Yeah, because it's so notoriously healthy. It has to taste awful.
And cheap.
But
it's like $1.50 for a bunch here.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I know.
Yeah. Thank God.
And it's just an excellent, excellent food. And again, you've got kale, onions, carrots, celery, chickpeas, cranberry, dried cranberries. How bad can that be? Almonds.
I stick them in spaghetti sauce myself.
Do you?
Yeah. Everybody goes, oh, that's okay. That's good.
I've never tried that. What a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
Not a whole bunch, just enough that somebody gets it every now and then.
A little shocker in your food. Ooh.
Yeah, a little sweetness and a little a fruity flavor. I mean, some dried tomato.
Right.
I think that's a super idea. I'm gonna steal that one.
Yeah, I mean, grandmas in Italy always put a little pinch of sugar in the tomato sauce.
Yeah.
You know, brings out the
flavor. You gotta. It cuts the acid.
Right.
It cuts the acid. Right.
Hmm?
Yeah. My mother used to do that as well. I don't because I don't like adding sugar to. Unless it really needs it, I prefer to avoid the sugar. Well, my husband is very, very diabetic.
As little as possible.
I have to be super careful about that.
And honestly, I've forgotten to put it in many times, and it's been very delicious. You know, it's just another way, maybe if they're a little tart or whatever, you know, depending
on
your sauce.
Well, I think it depends on your fruit.
Right.
You know, it depends on your tomato. I mean, some of them, you really do need it.
Yeah.
Some of them come out and they're like, whoa, pucker me right up. So, yeah.
Now, I've gleamed onto this salad that is just, this looks absolutely wonderful. Of course, I prefer to use like a Granny Smith, but I've gotten addicted to those honey sweet apples too. But you have an apple, mango, and radish salad that just sounds delicious.
Yeah, I usually use the Fuji apples.
Yeah.
If I can get them. And if I can't get them, I'll get the Gala.
Right.
I worked in a orchard once in New England where they grew Mutsu apples. Oh, are they to die for? First of all, they're the size of grapefruits.
Wow.
And they're a cross between a Japanese apple and a delicious. and they're both sweet and tart at the same time. You make a pie with these, you don't add sugar.
Huh. Right. Yeah.
You can, you just don't. It'll rot your teeth. I mean, you know, you can just feel the sugar high if you add sugar to these. And yet they are absolutely unbelievably delicious, and I can't find them anywhere else.
Wow. Nice.
I cannot find them anywhere else. Fuji comes the closest, and it's not. Mm. Well, neither had I until I worked there. But boy, I'll tell you, I became addicted. And when I was working there, we could take home 3 apples. Now, they were the smaller ones. I didn't care what size they were. You know? I mean, give me a break.
Yeah. Give me 3 instead.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. I'll take 3 free apples instead of paying for 1.
Right. I want to know about this positively festive salad. What a great title.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a fun salad to make. It really is a festive salad, too. Let me scroll down to that one, because it's been a while since I've made that one.
Cool.
Positively festive salad. Oh, yes, the macaroni and soy bacon and grape tomatoes. I like the grape tomatoes because they're smaller. Cherry tomatoes would work just as well. Celery, carrots, edamame, I love edamame. Yeah. Kalamata olives, oh my gosh, are they ever wonderful. And again,
yeah.
You can't get anywhere.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
oh gosh. And again, all you do, you cook the pasta, big deal.
Right.
And then you throw everything, you cook the pasta and the bacon in quotes,
right.
And, you know, the rest of it you just toss into the salad. It's excellent. It's just, it's ready and zippity-zip, and everybody thinks you spent the day making it.
Brilliant.
Well, I tell you, she has a wonderful recipe for Asian noodles, too.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I love Asian cuisine.
Yeah. I like real pot stickers, dumplings.
Real what?
Real pot stickers. The dumplings, the dim sum.
Yeah.
I've had, like, I don't know how many different kind, but you can only find them made in certain restaurants in certain cities.
Yeah. Yeah, I made them once, and I don't know where that recipe is. I can't find it now, because I was looking for that the other day and thinking, gee, I ought to include that in one of my cookbooks, and I can't find it. So I'm going to have to...
It'll show up.
I file things away, and then I don't remember where I put file
them.
Well,
you could always make up your own kind, too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but I really like this particular recipe because it was just disgustingly gorgeous. I have no idea.
Well, in the meantime, I have a question moving on to the side dishes. The Sicilian broccoli rabe, because I love broccoli rabe, but a lot of times, you know, it's the bitter factor that it has to be made right. So tell me about that one.
Yeah, you have to be careful. First of all, you want to buy your broccoli rabe new, young.
Mm.
You want to buy it young so it's tender and before it gets that bitterness to it.
Mm-hmm.
But there again, you're using the soy sausage links. Now, in that case, Morningstar is the product I used, and shiitake mushrooms, which I think are absolutely magnificent, and sage and artichoke hearts, dry red wine, broccoli rabe rinsed and chopped. Again, you just keep the oil in a skillet, you brown your sausage, you stir in the onion and garlic and mushrooms, cook until the onion is tender, stir in the sage and the artichoke hearts till they're heated through, and then stir in the remaining ingredients just until the broccoli rabe wilts. You don't want to overcook it because
wow.
you'll bring out that bitterness. You just want it just a touch limp,
mm-hmm.
and you're good. And it's, again, a very quick, very easy, no problem at all to make it, and everybody loves it. Even people
yeah.
who don't like broccoli rabe, and some people don't,
mm-hmm.
but they like that.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
And one of the things that I really like about these recipes is that most of the people I know are real dedicated meat eaters. They come over and they want my recipes.
Nice.
You know, I mean, it's really nice because they realize that you don't have to clog your arteries to have a good meal.
Right. And even, I mean, I would say, even if you don't want to give up meat, but you want to maybe just eat less meat or, like, you know, put these other parts into your lifestyle,
yeah.
you can do this and it still has that meat flavor. You know, it's the same thing. You can either have French fries
exactly.
or you can have some Smart Puffs. You know, sometimes you don't really need the French fries, but you want that feeling.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? There is no law against adding meat to any of my dishes.
Sure.
I mean, you know, of course, my vegetarian police will be at your door. But,
asking questions.
Yeah, exactly. You'll be a person of interest. But
doesn't mean you can't do it, right?
That's right. In the quiet of the night, you know,
right.
with all the lights off.
Right. 3 a.m. you can add meat. Just don't tell anybody.
Hey, there you go.
Clean up after yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. Of course, in our house, you can't do anything with meat quietly because I have four cats hanging about.
You'll create a stir. That's great.
Oh, yeah, they go nuts if they ever smell meat in my house, other than their own food.
So I have a question, Vila. What would you suggest as a really good meal to celebrate Labor Day?
Ooh. Oh, gosh. Well, Labor Day, it's because of its timing. It's a real good time for vegetables. Anything with tomatoes, zucchini, because everybody's up to their eyeballs in tomatoes and zucchini this time of year. I happen to be up to my eyeballs in basil right now. I'm living in a basil jungle.
That's awesome.
How about tomato what?
Tomato pie. I saw that somewhere. What? How do you make a tomato pie?
Oh yeah.
I've never had that.
Yeah, that was a case of what am I going to do with all these tomatoes? To be perfectly honest with you. Yeah, well, it's a regular pie crust, and some red onion, Dijon mustard, garlic, soy mozzarella, soy cheddar, soy parmesan. You're getting the sense that this is a cheesy dish. Basil, lots of basil, 1 cup. I must have been up to my teeth in basil at that point, too.
Put the west wing of basil into your dish.
Oh, please. I'm telling you. The last, the North 40, you know, of basil. And lots of other herbs. And then tomatoes sliced on top. So it's basically a cheese pie, but with tomatoes, just plum tomatoes, because they don't have, they're drier. So you use the plum tomatoes, and also they're a good size. You slice them up, throw them on top. Well, I don't throw them on top. You arrange them nicely. and you bake it for 35 minutes. It's no big deal.
Wow.
Now, this one does take a little longer because you do have to make the pie crust. But it's just a regular pie crust. It's not, you know, it's not anything particularly special. But, again, it throws together very easily, bakes up, serve it right in its pie pan so you don't have extra serving dishes. Slice it up, eat it hot or eat it cold.
Wow.
Yeah, that's another thing I like. I like dishes that you can do that with, because sometimes you're in a hurry, you just don't have time to warm up leftovers. No prob.
Yeah.
So tell the people how they can find your cookbook.
Oh, okay. Well, they're all available on Amazon. Well, in fact, all of my books are available on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble's, and they're available, too, on Smashwords. Now, on Smashwords, you can get it in EPUB, PDF, RTF, LRF, or PDB or TXT, and these will accommodate all, whatever kind of reader you have, whatever kind of e-reader you have, one of these or more, your reader will accommodate. That's one of the reasons I like to go with Smashwords, even though it's not a household name. They offer you options for any kind of e-reader you have. And you can get it in PDF, which means you can print it in case you want to. Like, when I do a recipe, I like to print it up, just that recipe, and have it with me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want the whole book. You know, I don't like having cookbooks in my workstand because I don't have that much room. I prefer to just have what I'm using.
Right.
And plus, you know, you don't want to flip pages and get the wrong ingredients in their case.
Right. Well, I see you have a Kindle edition on Amazon, and a couple years ago I got a Kindle for Christmas, and I never used it because I really like the feeling of an actual book, and I get books that are small that I can, you know, travel with, and the big ones I read at home. So now I see there's a Kindle edition, $2.99 on Amazon. I was like, okay, I think this is the thing that will birth the Kindle, because the Kindle is so small, you can bring it into the kitchen and just have it right there, just like a page.
And it holds outrageous numbers of books.
Nice.
I mean, ridiculous. Nobody could possibly accumulate so many books that they would overload their Kindle.
Wow,
it's,
I didn't know that.
Oh, please.
What'd you say, Gwen?
I mean, I don't know about that.
Have you overloaded yours?
I got a reader. I'm going to need a new one.
Oh,
So I'm storing Kindles.
Nobody
you know.
Likes a show off. Nobody likes a show off, Wedge.
But it is impressive.
They're research books. They're research books. You know, they're herbals and there's stuff that you can download online free. A lot of stuff. You know, like Culpeppers and Jethro cloth.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
I got, and then the metaphysical side, I've got a lot, and so, and you'd be surprised how much there is for free.
I didn't know you could get Jethro cloth for free.
Yeah,
because I've always paid. Well, son of a gun, I've always paid for my Jethro cloth books.
I found that through a college bank somewhere. I'll try and remember the link and send it to you.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
You know, I also print these books. I print them and sign them, comb bind them, and mail them for $15 each, plus $6 for shipping since shipping has gone up.
Yeah.
But because there are some people who really, really, really have to have paper books.
Yeah,
and boy, do I empathize with that.
Sure,
I'm very new to this to actually buying e-books myself because I was one of the last diehards. You know, has to be paper.
Well, it
so
seems like
I
beat
really
you because I've never bought an e-book. Yours will be the first one.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, the thing I like about e-books is that they are so much less expensive.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a good reason for that. It costs you nothing to produce it.
Right.
Right.
You know, with a paper book, I mean, that's why I have to charge $15 plus shipping because I have to have the ink, I have to have the paper, I have to have the comb bindings. You know, It just costs.
Mm-hmm.
And but that you'd be surprised. A lot of people are very happy to pay the $21 for the shipping and the book. And plus, you know, they like the idea that I can sign them.
Yeah.
And that means a lot.
Yeah, it's collector's item.
Right.
Yeah. And cookbooks are kind of nice, especially if they're comb bound because they'll lie flat.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, that's very important for a cookbook, isn't it?
Well, it really is. There's nothing worse than holding the cookbook open with your elbow while you're chopping onions and your eyes are tearing. This
True.
Is not a pretty picture.
Oh, it's great. I just wanted to ask a question because I see also on Amazon you have this gluten-free and glorious, what a fantastic title. Because I know a lot of people are having this gluten issue right now, and it's even had me to choose some gluten-free things to see, you know, what the difference is. Obviously, some things are better than others. So I don't know if you could just talk a second about that.
Yeah, when I was promoting one of my cookbooks, a dear friend of mine said, "Have you ever thought of doing a gluten-free cookbook?" And I had to admit that I had not, because gluten has never been an issue for me. But then my niece became mysteriously ill. No, but it was my great niece became mysteriously ill, and nobody could figure out what was wrong with her. I mean, we thought we were going to lose her.
Wow.
And they finally figured out that she was gluten intolerant.
Mm. Wow.
So between Sarah, my great niece, and Deb, my friend, I said, this is something I have to get right on. This is important because I'm all about health. So,
yeah.
I did a lot of homework. Believe me, it was a learning curve because there are things that have gluten in it. Who knew oats have gluten? Baking powder.
Yeah.
Hello. Yeah. And if I'm saying gluten-free, the book damn well better be gluten-free. So I had to know about this stuff, you know. So I did a lot of research. I did a lot. I baked a lot of desserts. I baked a lot of breads. And some of them worked out and some of them didn't. The ones that did made it to the cookbook. The ones that didn't made it to the birds.
Yeah, and you've got quite a plethora here. Oven dishes, salads, breads, desserts, sauces, dressing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, it's an excellent book. And it, honestly, you can even do pasta. You can do pasta. And that, to me, is you've died and gone to heaven.
Right, victory.
If you can do pasta without gluten, because quinoa, and I actually prefer quinoa pasta, to tell you the truth. Nicole, you might be interested in this. It has a better mouthfeel than whole wheat pasta. Quinoa if you work at it, you can make it mushy. But it just has a better mouthfeel to me. And everybody that I've cooked it for has said the same thing, that they really, really like the quinoa pasta. And so I use that almost exclusively now since I've written that book.
Wow, good to know.
Vila, do you use chia seeds at all?
I do, but not in my cooking.
Okay.
I have tried it. I have tried it in breads and things, and I just don't like that gritty feel.
Mm.
Ah.
So I do, but I just, I take a tablespoon of it, and I just eat them raw. I just eat them plain.
My friend puts them into, he makes this amazing granola, and I'm not a granola fan, and I just love it on top of yogurt, homemade granola that he makes. And he puts chia seeds in
it. Chia seeds.
And it has that, then you enjoy that sort of gritty, you know, crunchy thing.
I've never tried it in like a cookie or a pie crust. That might be interesting to try, but I did try it in bread, and I really didn't like it.
Maybe an oatmeal cookie or something like that.
Yeah, something that's already crunchy.
Right.
Yeah, that might work out.
Cool.
I do use a lot of flaxseed in my cooking, in my baking.
Yeah.
If I use flour, I use ground up flaxseed. But it does not affect the texture of the product, the finished product.
Right.
It'll give it a slightly nutty flavor, but not the texture. Yeah, I'm sorry. Did you have a question? I'm rambling on here.
No. Go ahead, Gwen.
No, I'm good.
Ah, okay. Because I was looking at this. From the gluten-free, I'm just interested in what is ganmodoki? Ganmodoki.
Oh, let me get over to that book. Hold on.
It's in the oven dishes. And then she also has this sformato di asparagi. Of course, the Italian likes that. Sformato is a nice word.
You would like that one. you already recognize that one.
Yeah.
Now, let me see.
That's in the oven, isn't it? The sformato, right?
Mm.
Well, whatever. I'm asking two questions at the same time. Sorry.
Gamadoki.
There you go.
Gamadoki.
Such a good word. Is that Greek?
Sounds Greek.
Yeah,
it does, doesn't it?
Greek or Indian, maybe. For making Vila click through everything.
I pulled up the wrong version of the book. I pulled up the printable version, and the printable version doesn't have the, there it is, the hyperlinks.
Ah.
And the other one does. Now, here we go. Oh, I see what I did wrong. I typed one M instead of two. I am dyslexic.
So I mean, but you click away like a champ, you know. We're all working with what we got, right? However our brains work, just make it work.
Oh, yeah, okay. I think that is a Greek dish. I'm not entirely sure of that, but somebody gave it to me. I had it at somebody's house, and I decided that I wasn't really mad about the way that person prepared it. So I came home and played around and did it myself. And it's really, again, it's such a simple thing to do. You just squeeze regular tofu, just not silken, regular tofu, drained and squeezed as dry as you can squeeze it. You'll crumble it. That's okay. You want it crumbled. Carrot, shiitake mushrooms again, green onions this time, frozen peas, toasted sesame oil. No, this is a Japanese dish. Ground ginger and black pepper. Now, you want a high oven, 500 degrees. You stir everything in a bowl. You combine it with fingers until the mixture is manageable. You form into five or six patties. Spray a baking sheet. Put the patties on there. Cook them. And flip them and cook them some more, and they come out unfreaking believable. As a matter of fact, in my cookbook, I say, make a double batch. These go lickety-split. First time I made them, I didn't make a double batch. And they were gone, I mean, instantaneously. I was not pleased because I had to make them again.
Oh,
I am the queen
awesome.
Of leftovers. Yeah, they really are. They're unbelievably tasty. And they don't sound like anything special. You know, just tofu, carrots, mushrooms, onion, peas, toasted sesame oil, ground ginger. Nothing special there. I don't understand why the color, I almost said colors, because I think of flavors in color.
Yeah.
All the flavors just seem to work so magnificently together. And they get that nice crunchy out on the outside. They get that nice crunchy feeling. It's a wonderful mouthfeel.
Wow. That's important, isn't it? The mouth feel. I'm so glad
you know,
that you
it really is. It really is. And I think that's one of the reasons so many people stick to their meat, because their meat has a mouth feel that they don't believe you can get with anything but. But you can. You can get a magnificent mouthfeel, very similar to meat, with many of the soy products that are on the market today.
Wow.
Not to mention the flavor. I mean, I know people who actually prefer the soy sausage to pork sausage because it doesn't have all that fat. You don't get that greasy feeling in your mouth, which is also a mouthfeel, but you don't want it.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever worked with seitan? That
you know, I do, and I love it.
Yeah, I like it too.
Oh, I think
what is that?
It's actually wheat gluten.
Okay, yeah, all right.
And it's processed into a substance that has the same mouthfeel you would never know it wasn't meat. I make a lot of, when I make a beef stew, that's what I use. Because it gives you, it's just amazing the mouthfeel you get from that. It's so satisfying. I mean, people look at me when I make, when I serve my version of beef stew and think, okay, when did you renege? You know, when did you convert to beef? But
right,
no,
and
you,
it takes on the flavor of whatever it's around.
Whatever you put with it, it just takes on that flavor, and it is unreal. It's excellent, just excellent. Now, I'll tell you what I don't like to use very much, and that's seitan. No, tempeh.
Tempeh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't like to use. Well, don't. I don't like to work with it. It's not easy to work with. At least I don't think it is, and it just doesn't fill the bill for me. Seitan does. Mm-hmm. Seitan is excellent. Well,
nice.
That's what my tofu turkey roast is all about. I don't know if that's in the Happy Body Cookbook or not. Let me scroll back up to oven dishes. I don't remember. You know, you put together all these cookbooks, and then you can't remember what's in which.
Sure. Well, in the meantime, Gwen, are you doing your show? Are you doing the Sunday show tomorrow?
The Sunday show will be on, most likely. Jack will be at the helm, but I will get it on. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Nice. Yeah, I'm debating whether I should do the show on Monday if everyone's going to be around. I skipped the last week because I just had no thoughts and. I think it was also the Emmys. Last week was a weird week, so maybe we will do spirit therapy on Monday.
Thank
Wait, don't you.
Don't you
hate it when you just draw a blank? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said thank you so much for being on with us again and sharing
so much.
Oh, my
gosh, an hour has gone by.
It always goes quick with you, Vila.
Yikes. Well, thank you for inviting me. What a joy.
Yeah, I learned a lot. And I love...
I do too.
Yeah, and I love the fact that you explain the why. Why should you eat this? And just knowing that you're interested in mouthfeel and easy. I mean, who wouldn't want that?
Oh, yeah. I think there's no reason to make a great crusade out of a meal. I'm sorry. You know, I have more to do with my life. I want to sit down. I want to enjoy my food. I want to move on to other things. You know,
we should pay more attention to having a meal that tastes really great, like you're providing with your recipes, and spending time with the family instead of, you know, paying attention to all the nutsy fagin world gone mad.
I can't tell you how much I agree with that. When you're in the kitchen, I don't know. I mean, my mother was different. My mother cooked, and everybody was in the kitchen with her. I frankly can't have that. I don't like that distraction. When I'm cooking, I want to be by myself.
Mm.
So I prefer to make it as simple as possible, quick, pop it in the oven if it's an oven dish, and then spend my time with the people. You know?
Yeah.
When I entertain, everything's in the oven.
That's a good cook.
Because I can prepare it ahead of time. I can throw it in the oven. I can relax with my guests. When the oven dings, I pull it out. We eat. Life is good. You know? And everybody's happy. And I get to enjoy the meal, too.
There you go.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Vila. You can find Vila Spiderhawk on Facebook, Vila Spiderhawk. I think you're the only one.
I think so. any Vila Spiderhawk that you find on Facebook is me.
Yes, there you go.
I have three pages on Facebook, and they're all me.
Fantastic.
And of course,
so you can Google
Vila
her.
Spiderhawk, VilaSpiderhawk.com as well.
There you go.
There's my
all right.
website.
And well,
thank you. Thank you so much. Gwen, you take care of yourself.
I'm going to bed now, darling.
Good.
That's a wonderful idea.
Good.
Okay. Nikki, I'm so happy to talk to you again.
Yes, you too, Vila. And blessings and best of luck with your cookbooks and everyone.
Thank you.
Eat right. All right.
And
good night.
Greatest blessings to you as well. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye.